go before that beer in the freezer explodes.
Hey, Russ.
Hello, Tony.
It's that time again.
What time is it?
It's that time again where the breezes blow tall through the trees.
There's a cold front coming.
But it ain't summer either.
There's a cold front coming.
There's a cold front coming. It may dip down to the high 80s.
I know. I'm so excited.
I'd get out my Patagonia and my other things that you put on when it dips down into the high 80s.
I'm going to get my Lululemons on. How my butt has changed from last year to this year.
It's that time again. It is the college football preview episode.
We brought along our official college football correspondent.
College football correspondent.
Kit Kitchens.
Current ESPN and Fox News and NBC sports commentator, Kit Kitchens.
That's exactly right. Thank you for getting all the networks properly.
That's right. And Univision.
And Telemundo.
And not both. No, you can only be one. Univision or Telemundo.
Oh, so, okay. So when you go to a different language, you can only be one network. But if you're...
I don't make the rules. Welcome to One Beer, One Song episode. No one cares anymore. Nope. This is the college football preview episode where on each, typically on each episode, we miscategorize and or underappreciate a beer and or a song, sometimes multiple beers, sometimes multiple songs. On this particular episode, I don't really know. I have no idea. We've got a couple of really weird beers. We're going to talk about college football because we live in Georgia and it's sort of a religion down here, I would say. Even if you...
People go to church twice a week during football season.
Even if you're not a college football fan, like, you have to deal with it. So yeah. You have thoughts about it.
I would imagine that if you're from Rhode Island, how miserable is the fall for you?
Right.
It's beautiful up there.
It's beautiful, but I mean, like, if you live in Atlanta and you're from Rhode Island, and let's say you have no college football affiliation and you're only like a Patriots fan, how much do you hate everything right now?
No, I think they think it's great because on Saturdays they go to the grocery store because there's no one there.
Or they like plan a wedding on the day of, like, if you're in Atlanta, you plan the wedding on like Georgia Auburn, and then they're like, huh, like half the people we sent invites to declined. That's so weird. These people are dicks. Southern hospitality, nothing.
Also, part of that is like what time the wedding is.
Right.
If Georgia Auburn's playing at 3:30 and your wedding is at 3 o'clock, no one's there.
No.
However, if Georgia Auburn's playing at 7, you will run out of beer. Liquor drink that you could think of at the reception, and fights will possibly break out.
I've been to weddings that even on a basketball Saturday, if there was a big basketball game, collegiate basketball game featuring Georgia, so probably Georgia, Kentucky, whatever. They were smart enough to just be like, yeah, we rented a couple TVs from the facility and they'll be on, and people just gravitate. And they know not to cut the cake until halftime. Everybody moves back, they cut the cake, then everybody kind of goes back to drinking, watch the basketball game. All right, let's do the next thing. Father-daughter dance. Yeah, okay, you can do that now. So, I mean, they had to prepare. They knew what they did. They knew they were wrong, so they prepared.
Full disclosure, when I got married in 2002, it was the day of the Georgia-Alabama game. And the game was happening like while we were getting married.
But you lived in Portland.
I know. We were totally clueless. We lived on the West Coast and got married in Atlanta, and we're just like, let's just pick a date. And our moms were just like, yeah, weddings, blah, blah, blah. And I remember the valets had a 19-inch CRT TV in the back seat of one of the cars and then ran an extension cord. And I was standing in the parking lot watching the game with them while people were arriving. And people were arriving like, oh, Tony's out in the parking lot greeting the guests. It's like, no, he's watching football.
No.
Whatever. What a game, too, by the way.
I think it was Jim and Allie.
I don't remember. I think we won. It was like 20-16 or
that
something.
It was like, I want to say it was closer to like 17-15. It was weird because Billy Bennett's field goal won us the game, and Fred Gibson caught a pass, literally falling on his butt. Billy Bennett's field goal put us ahead with just a few seconds left. And also, Musa Smith in that last 4 minutes.
They're not booing.
We just
They're
handed the
Musa.
Ball to him over and over and over again.
27-25.
Oh, look at that. I was way off.
That was the Man Enough game, right?
That was Man Enough.
Yeah.
Yep.
The former Alabama coach called out Georgia and said, I don't think they're man enough for that game. And Georgia put that proudly on their corkboard and then won in Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm.
We have a beer to drink.
We do. This is from our friends at Orpheus here in Atlanta, Coffee Minotaur. It's a sour ale aged in whiskey barrels with coffee. I love the story, the Greek mythology story of Orpheus. It means a lot to me. The lesson of don't look back is pertinent. This is 8% and Coffee is Java Lords.
And I mean, we went to Orpheus, I don't know, a couple of years ago, last year sometime. So we've been there. We've talked to Jason. They're great. Their beers are awesome. I had not heard of this. Apparently, it's fairly sought after. I was at my local liquor store yesterday and was like, hey, you got anything new and fun and or behind the counter that you're not telling anyone about? And they're like, well, we put this one out and it's flying off the shelves. So I grabbed a bottle.
The story of Orpheus is a journey of rebirth, first in his journey into and out of Hades, and finally into transmigration of his soul into the body of a swan. We pay tribute to this rebirth with every beer we put into barrels to be transformed by its time in the wood and reborn as something new. So, to the nose.
Smells good. The question
smells
is,
like coffee.
By just saying sour ale, so is it going to be Brett or is it going to be lacto or both? What do you think? Can you smell it?
I can't smell it. The coffee is really prevalent. In fact, if you put this under my nose and told me it's sour ale, I'd laugh at you.
Smells like a damn cup of coffee.
Yeah, smells like sweet iced coffee. Brett.
Nope, tart. I don't get any bread in there. Do you?
What is Athena?
Athena is tart.
What is that? That's lacto. Lacto. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh, did I say black? I meant white. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Did you say Jews? I meant Muslim. My bad. It's the same thing.
That's tasty.
It is good.
Bourbon barrel. Is it bourbon barrel aged? What is it? I think it might be Jack Daniels,
right?
Yeah. Whiskey barreled.
This is
Minotaur
so
is a Jack
funky.
Daniels barrel.
I love this.
Yeah.
This is like,
I don't even like coffee.
I don't mean to oversimplify this, but it's like Athena with coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly what I thought.
Which you would
gross
not
oversimplification, but not inaccurate.
Athena with sweet coffee. Not
is this the underappreciating part?
Yes, this is the part we screw up.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And in fact, it brings me a lot of joy to know that we do this so badly that Blake yells back at us when he's on his commute to work or listening to us while he's brewing.
He just drove his car into a tree.
Yeah, I know. Makes me so happy. Which makes it even better when he comes on. This is delightful.
Yeah, that's really tasty. I understand the hype now. I'd say it lives up to it.
All right, so the AP Top 25 poll came out this week.
Today.
So if you're trying to figure out when we recorded this, came out today. And of course, preseason polls mean absolutely nothing.
I think they're actually like they do a disservice to everything. Like they
there shouldn't
ruin,
be a poll until week five. Let some things shake out. New coaches, new players.
So what you're saying is that the BCS really did actually have it figured out.
Yes. The BCS was perfect in everything it did. And the fans, it just wasn't enough. The fans got exactly what they deserved, which was a mathematical poll to tell you who the top couple teams were. And that was it. But the fans didn't like that. So now we have this playoff system. God, who wants a playoff system?
So what is notable in this top 25? We're looking at it on the screen right now.
Clemson's number two is the first thing that stands out.
Don't just read it.
Okay.
Why is that notable?
I just think... Because it also matches how Clyde Clemson fans can count.
I'm going to eat some snacks while you guys are doing that.
Stacy, that's not a mouth noise.
The crinkles.
Not yet. We got some Takis here. Takis Fuego. Hot chili, pepper, and lime tortilla chips. They're tortilla chips, but they're actually curled up in little sticks. And I have a bowl, too. Listen to this.
I want some hot chili. Basically, they look like the hot fries. Like they used to get... As a kid, I say you. I don't know. I've never had them.
This smells... Okay. Tony. What does it smell like?
Now have a big sip of your coffee beer.
Oh, that's like an intense Dorito.
Oh, yeah. Mm. They're good.
Mm. Holy hell.
They're spicy, too. Yeah. I have to drink the beer. Okay.
Notre Dame, by the way. Has taken on a strong first push at the Fulmer Cup with their drug and gun arrests earlier this week, which just makes me happy. What did you do?
I clicked on Notre Dame.
Why did you do that?
Because I was going to see if there was any immediate details about their criminal players.
Five Notre Dame players arrested in traffic stop.
Five Notre Dame players arrested.
And they found a gun and marijuana. So,
hey, do y'all remember that time when Isaiah Crowell transferred to Notre Dame?
Did he transfer to Notre Dame?
No, he was just making...
Because they were literally arrested in a traffic stop, and what did they find? Marijuana and a gun. Right now is being like, I got y'all, dog.
Tennessee at number nine. Should they be ranked that high?
No. So here's what's really funny. They're
saying that Tennessee is going to win the SEC.
So this is what I find to be the SEC East in a nutshell. It's three teams. It's Tennessee, Florida, and Georgia, right?
No Mizzou?
No, not a chance. They're terrible. South Carolina's terrible. Mizzou's terrible. Kentucky's terrible. Vandy's obviously
South Carolina
terrible.
Is good, but they're going to be terrible because of their coach.
Oh, they were terrible last year, and then they hired Will Muschamp, right. And there you go, right? So if I were to...
I want to know what, like, gay porn tape Will Muschamp has on, like, every president of every college in the SEC.
I don't know, man. But whatever it is for them... Well, I mean, let's also be clear. That's, in a sense, a lot of people feel that Kirby got the job and Rick got fired was that if South Carolina didn't... basically, Kirby was going to South Carolina if the Georgia job didn't open up. And so Greg McGarrity says, we got to fix that right now. And there's a lot of other things involved in that. But they fire Rick. Kirby goes to Georgia. Well, South Carolina's like, well, we'll reach out to so-and-so and Tom Herman and this person and that person. And everybody was like, no.
You mean we missed...
You're South Carolina.
We missed a chance of getting Muschamp as our coach. We mm-hmm. passed that up.
Oh, all day.
Yeah, we missed that when he went from Texas to Florida.
But, I mean, so if you were to use an analogy sense, Tennessee, to me, is all sizzle and no steak. Florida is all steak and no sizzle because they were in the SEC East Championship last year, but nobody remembers it, and nobody can name one single player for Florida. They're like, that's the guy. And Georgia's like a very filling pasta dish.
I was going to say, no, Georgia's a side of asparagus.
Yeah. You don't really know. It could be the best thing that you eat, but you don't really know.
Georgia's so the Olive Garden?
Yeah, basically. I mean, when you're here, your family, you know? But it's just, it's funny to me because the East is so muddled and the West is basically Alabama and everybody else.
Alabama, Ole Miss, everybody else.
I don't think Ole Miss is that good.
I think
we've said that for the last couple of years.
So you know who's not good? Alabama.
Really?
Yeah.
Based on their past records?
What have they done?
I don't know.
I think they lose at least 3 games this year.
Wow. Mm. To who?
To Ole Miss, LSU, and...
USC? They're home opener.
And a weird one. I think there's a Michigan App State that happens in Tuscaloosa this year.
Wow. Wow. That's...
to a bold strategy, Cotton.
Alabama and Southern Cal go
week
at it the
one.
First week. So I will be cheering hard for Bama because... I hate the Trojans.
Where is that game? Because they both say versus.
That's in Dallas.
Jerry World. That is a Jerry World.
I
want
to see that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Florida at Massachusetts, or Massachusetts at Florida. Hey, that's a big one.
Way to step out on the limb there, Florida.
I like Iowa mixing it up in there.
There's a couple of games to watch out for. So, number 15, Houston versus number 3, Oklahoma. Big time game.
Isn't that speed versus size? Not easy, but I think Houston could win that one.
Absolutely.
Isn't that speed of Houston versus size of Oklahoma?
Yes. And so, I mean, there are just so many really great games. North Carolina-Georgia is going to be a phenomenal game. I really do think so. But if Georgia can handle the North Carolina speed, Georgia wins that football game. But, I mean, you know, Florida State-Ole Miss, big-time game. I think that's played on a neutral site, too, and I can't remember where that's at. But the
Shutdown Fullcast guys had a great analysis of that Georgia North Carolina game and how no matter what happens, it's going to tell us nothing.
Yeah.
Because North Carolina gave up 645 yards rushing in their bowl game. We have Nick Chubb. So
I don't think
if
you
we
can
lose
take
that
bowl game,
game
into consideration there, because think about a lot of teams go, oh, that bowl game, no, I'm not going to try.
If we lose that game, then it's like, well, it's not, that doesn't say that like Georgia's bad. You know what I mean? If we win that game, doesn't really say that Georgia's all that good either.
Do you know what you shouldn't do is drink this beer, then have one of those Takis, and then drink the beer again?
But that's literally what we are doing by design.
Right. So this...
Here, I'm going to do it again.
I'm sorry, Stacey.
That's good stuff.
Longtime friend of the show just threw herself out of a moving car because she heard mouth noises.
Oh, that's tasty.
Now drink the beer. It's horrific.
It's a little weird. Not so sure that those flavors are designed to be together.
No, not so much.
You know what, though?
If I could only have a coffee tart beer and some Takis right now.
There's consistency in the tartness, though.
There is.
Because these Takis are very limey and citrusy.
What else we want to talk? So, Kit, break down Georgia offensive, defense, and special teams, and tell us what we're going to see this year.
Speed. Georgia has always had this idea that we're gonna, just going to ground and pound, and defense is going to be fast but big, and you know, we're going to try to pressure the quarterback and everything. What I think you'll see that'll be different is the manner and the speed at which Georgia goes about things. And I don't mean running plays. I mean how fast our guys are, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, how fast they try to swarm to the football. When you think of Alabama,
who's not good at football, by the way.
Terrible. But when you think about Alabama, what I think is there's only like one massively sized unit on the field.
It's the running back.
It's Nick Saban.
And so that's the defensive line.
Your hands look great.
Thank you. I got to trim my fingernails. It's probably too much for people to know. It's just, you know.
No, we talk about grooming often on the show. Sorry.
Kit's doing some very astute analysis with karate chops and stuff.
Yeah. Very, very John Kasich of me. So you've got the defensive line, which is always very big with Alabama, but their linebackers are fast, super fast, and the cornerbacks are fast, and everybody's big, and they got big wingspans, but more than anything, they're fast, and they swarm to the football. That's what Kirby is trying to teach. I think our linebacking core will be good, even though we lost Jordan Jenkins and Leonard Floyd. I've heard really great things about Roquan Smith.
I miss Leonard Floyd.
Everybody does.
He was a great cuddler. Little known fact.
It's because he's got these long arms. You seen the wingspan on that kid?
And soft hands. He moisturizes.
Oh, yeah. He can wrap around you twice with those hands. Just big hugs.
Normally what I look for in a woman, you know, just...
Huge hands and wrap around you twice?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, man hands. Cornerbacks, I think our cornerback, our defensive back group will be really good. I think our linebacker group will be good. I think our defensive line is going to not be so great, and so we're going to get pushed
around. I've
heard
a lot of question
bit.
Marks around the front seven on defense.
It's not to me. We're just not there yet. We've recruited the wrong bodies for too long. One of the things that Jeremy Pruitt did is he wanted people not necessarily to eat up space. That was a Todd Grantham thing. Todd Grantham wanted big guys, and Jeremy Pruitt was like, I just kind of want some dudes to just plug in there and just be boop boop, you know, just move around, you know, get a couple of double teams while my outside rushers are Leonard Floyds and, you know, all those guys go in there and tackle the guy, right? So, but where we're going to be is more muscle up front and then let linebackers be linebackers, which are basically quarterbacks of the defense. See what the defense is giving you and then run, go make a play. So that's defense. Offensively, if our offensive line is good, and by all intents and purposes, we got the right coach. Because remember how good Arkansas and their offensive line was. Not necessarily like Arkansas.
You're talking
as a
about
team.
Cheney?
No, that's Pittman, Sam Pittman, who was really, really good about just recruiting huge bodies and then coaching them up. And so he's got the right. We might have the right tools. We've got a few guys here and there, like Isaiah Wynn and Brandon Cablano, who, you know, could be linchpins of the offensive line. Then you get this guy, Catalina, but I think that's wrong.
That's a dressing.
It is. He's a lot better than Joe Ranch, though.
You did that to yourself.
I did. That was me. I'm self-cutting myself.
So we've got the right bodies, and really where Kirby's rent is going to be due is in 2-3 years from now after we have some recruiting done. But there's nothing to say that Georgia can't win 9-10 games right now, because Rick consistently did it even when he had a terrible coach. I mean, last year's coaching staff was pitiful.
Really?
Oh, man. But do you know where Brian Schottenheimer is right now?
No.
He's
at the Colts.
The Chicago Cubs.
Probably. I mean, because that's the thing is when I go back and I look at Georgia's team last year, there is no reason whatsoever we should have won 10 games over the course of that season.
But they did.
We were awful.
They did.
We still beat Georgia Tech, for the record. But we were awful. And even with an awful, not necessarily awful team, but even with awful coaching, we still won 10 games, which makes me think that if we do a couple of things consistently better.
Kirby said that to the team at the first team meeting. He goes, the difference between Georgia and Alabama is just a few things. You're just a few steps away from.
I mean, we've had a top five, if not top five, top 10 recruiting class for like 20 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like it's not the recruits. It's not the players.
And I mean, you got the right kids coming in. I mean, all the freshmen coming in, everybody's going to point to Jacob Eason and say, you know, he's the next big thing. But I mean, we recruited well across the
but
wide receivers
still,
and linebackers.
But still, as of this recording, we still don't know who the quarterback's going to be.
No.
Kirby said yesterday, he goes, I got to go to the tape. They had a scrimmage yesterday. They said, he goes, yeah, I don't know yet. Now, by the time this episode airs, this could be the night before college football kicks off.
That's this Thursday, right?
Oh, no.
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday, okay.
We only have one more weekend with no college football whatsoever.
LSU, sorry, wives.
LSU ranked at number 5. That seems a bit high considering how LSU's performed the last couple of years.
It's not good. I'm telling you, I don't think LSU is very good. I don't think Ole Miss is very good. I think Ole Miss is a 9-win team, 10-win team possibly. I think LSU is 8-4, 9-3, and Les Miles will get fired this year.
Which is a shame because he is great for college football.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
He is.
I love it.
But if he gets fired, he's going to land somewhere else. He'll go to the Big Ten immediately.
Yes. He will get paid.
Man, if he goes, so I think I talked about this last year, but like my Big Ten team is Minnesota. Man, if Les Miles went to Minnesota, I would be the biggest Minnesota homer you ever. I would be insufferable more so than
so than you already are?
Right.
I like Minnesota a lot, actually. You know what's really funny is that now that you mentioned the Big Ten, you want to talk about a conference that I think is going to be really good this year. That's the Big Ten.
So there was some trash talking going on in our in the thread.
On our Facebook page,
on our Facebook
that we
page
have
with some friends.
Facebook.com/onebeeronesong.
My friend here, very good friend of Morgan, called out our other good friend, Andy, who went to Michigan, and saying Colorado beats Michigan at Michigan, which is obviously not going to happen. But I did some digging. And so the Big Ten, they've only been playing a championship game for like 5 years, right?
And they have the worst conference.
Because they'll have
names.
Like on the Wikipedia page, there's like multiple champions and whoever has the best Big Ten record. Well, if there's three teams that have 6-2, they're all the Big Ten champion that year or whatever. Mm-hmm. Since 2000, teams that have been deemed Big Ten champions have gone 9-15 in bowl games.
Wow.
After being deemed Big Ten champions.
Mm.
Double up.
So that actually stands to reason. Like your comment makes sense though, that this is the year. Like,
you're welcome, America.
It's not going to get worse. Like Big Ten may be good this year. I don't know.
I don't think it's going to be Ohio State. I think it's going to be, I mean, when I look at the teams kind of top to bottom, there are a whole bunch of middling teams. Like I think Penn State could, you know, possibly be okay.
Right.
You know, Illinois, Indiana could possibly be bowl teams, you know, but when I look at Michigan, who I think is going to be very good.
Yeah.
And Michigan State, who
both insufferable fan bases.
Oh yeah, of course.
Michigan and Michigan State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, you know what Michigan State is? It's like Florida and Florida State. Both fan bases, you sit there and you're like,
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know about Florida State. I don't know as many jackasses that root for Florida State.
Florida State's fans are, they have hair triggers and are just hyper defensive about everything, which is weird given that they're like, their record of success is so great. But man, they have thin skin and get crazy quick.
They tend to be more educated, though, than Florida fans.
True, yeah.
It's a better fan base as far as like education level and status and jobs.
Oh, hey, you know what else?
Other things from our Facebook feed that asked you guys for questions. Please discuss the rumor that people in the South don't believe football exists west of the Mississippi. I think we've addressed that. We acknowledge that it exists. We acknowledge that it exists. We talked about Oregon. Or we talked about Colorado.
And this guy here, Ross, says that he thinks the Ducks are going to win the Pac-12.
We'll get to the Ducks in just a second, but okay. We have acknowledged that there is football west of the Mississippi. It's just not very good football.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, I think the Ducks will win the Pac-12. Who's the Pac-12?
And how do you think a hockey team is going to win the Pac-12?
And is the Pac-12, is that supporting Trump or is that supporting Clinton?
With the flying V, that's how they always win.
I don't know which pack that is, actually.
Super PAC?
See, you like Oregon.
I do like Oregon. I lived there for 4 years.
Right.
And that was when I was there when Joey Harrington was the guy.
Like, oh, the Rose Bowl Oregon team.
All the billboards all around town. And it was also when like Oregon State was also good. Mm-hmm. Like the Oregon Civil War was a game. Like,
yeah,
it was just, it
wasn't
was a deal.
That just like the a score fest though. There was no defense, right? It was all,
well, Mike Riley, I think was still the coach of Oregon State at that time when they, or was it Dennis Erickson?
Riley just left to Nebraska.
But he was
right?
there at Oregon State for a really long time. And Erickson was there for a while. But that Oregon State game was always fun. It's still fun now.
Yeah, guys like Chad Johnson and there was other receiver at Oregon State. But like big NFL guys were like playing at Oregon State.
Is it weird that Oregon decided to name that game the Civil War game? Because that's like almost as far as you can get away.
No, that's a sports writer thing for in-state rivalry.
Okay.
They're all Civil Wars.
All of them?
All of them.
Hmm.
I do like Oregon. I do think Washington will be serviceable this year. They might be pretty good.
People are high on Washington this year.
Serviceable. That's not a word you hear thrown around with college football very well.
I don't know. I mean, you look at Chris Peterson, who's the guy that was the head coach of Boise State for a long time, mm-hmm. and he did a great job. He really did. He did a great job at Boise State. He did way better than Dan Hawkins did, and Dan Hawkins put Boise State on the map.
Dan Hawkins, who's at Colorado?
He was at Colorado. Yeah, he's like, go play intramurals, brother. You don't like tackling.
No, Peterson, he put Boise State on the map.
Yeah.
Like, beat Oklahoma in the bowl game and the whole thing. Yeah,
the Statue of Liberty play. I think that's fine. I just don't see the Pac-12 having a very successful year. They're kind of hanging all of their hopes on USC being good. And I think USC is going to get absolutely just...
How good do you think USC is relative to their recruiting? Because their recruiting is, like, they may have the easiest recruiting job in the world. Because they're like, hey, come to this small private school in Los Angeles and wear this fur coat of chicks. And
I still don't... fur coat of chicks. I think that... And I'm going to look this up right quick. But I think the top 10... I don't even know if they were in the top 10 recruiting classes of last year. Let me look this up.
Hey, while you're looking that up, I just wanted to talk about there's got to be a talk about Takis joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, USC was 12. They got out-recruited by UCLA. I mean, and you know who's sitting there right there at 11? The University of Georgia.
11?
Yeah. That's according to Rivals. Yeah, this 2016 team rankings.
So as we continue to...
But we're 8 on 24/7 Sports. USC was 10. So.
All right.
Have a weird taste fest with Takis, coffee sour ales. We just cracked open the Red Hair Cottontail Orange Creamsicle Ale.
Nothing's easy for you to say.
Creamsicle Ale.
It's sickle, but it's sick ale. Ale. Get it? Because ale is beer.
So before we start on this beer, I'll tell you that Bridge over Sprayberry Bottle Shop said he sold 40 cases in a day. He couldn't keep this on the shelf. Friend of the show, Megan, said she
You think
really
that was 40
it.
Cases or 46 packs? Because 40 cases is a lot.
He said cases.
All right.
So we heard from a friend of the show, Megan, that this is good. I saw a couple other people were kind of raging about it, so I went and grabbed a 6-pack.
I didn't realize the show had so many friends.
Y'all are very popular, except in your iTunes reviews.
I don't have
but
any
other
friends.
Than that,
ooh, we should look at iTunes actually.
Okay, so
keep talking.
This should be this the can. Oh, here it is: pale ale brewed with orange and vanilla. Okay, so you're gonna call yourself an orange creamsicle. Remember what a creamsicle tasted like from our youth? Orange popsicle. Around.
So this is the I was just gonna say we have to confirm that this is the popsicle from within the cardboard tube, right?
What? No.
Yeah, like the push up.
No.
Sorry, push up the pop from the bottom. Like
that's not what I remember it from. It was just it looked like a
popsicle. You're thinking of a push pop.
Yeah.
The creamsicle was like just a pale orange, like orange sherbet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like that an color. Orange popsicle. Yeah.
Yeah. Just
not as bright as an orange.
Not
popsicle,
as bright
right.
as just like straight, I'm orange.
And it had like a core of something else. Well, and the core was like vanilla ice cream or something?
I think so.
Okay. So that's what they've named this beer after. So I'm going to smell. Smells like a pale ale.
Yeah, it didn't smell anything but pretty much can. It smells like a can.
Mine smells like a can, too, because it's not open yet.
Huh.
It smells like aluminium.
This is a transparent aluminum? A keyboard. How quaint. If any of you got that reference, give yourself 5 points. Wow. That tastes like a beer creamsicle. This is a delightfully...
I'm actually really surprised by this.
It's light. This is pool beer for sure.
That's weird.
The look on your face is everything.
It's one of those where you like drink it and then you swallow it and you process it and you're like, okay, knock it off.
It's if creamsicle and a pale ale.
It's weird, like it tastes and smells like a kid's toy. It's like a, I'm getting like
what
a
do you
plasticky
put in your mouth?
Like.
I don't get plasticky.
I don't know, man.
Could that be the Takis talking?
This but, creamsick ale, the only ale brewed with Legos.
Hold on, I'm gonna check the Takis. Hold on.
Tale of the Takis.
Nope, it's not the Takis. They're still delicious.
God, so weird.
I don't think it's as much weird. It's
not weird in like a bad way. It's just if I drink a beer, I expect a beer-ish taste. And
well, what does that mean?
I don't know, man.
Yeast and hops and
water,
malt. It's one of those you drink it. You're like, how did they do that? Oh, orange and vanilla, right? That's how they did it.
What do you see? You see a lot of blood orange beers, and I don't like those beers. I don't like blood orange. So those beers,
I don't think like
too tart.
I mean, yeah, they're whatever. Like if you have somebody blindfolded and you're like, eat these two slices of citrus. Probably most people are not going to be able to pick out a blood orange from a not blood orange.
Blood orange tastes bad. Orange tastes good.
I mean,
next
sorry,
week.
I've got Takis in my teeth. I'm picking my
orange taste test.
You know what? Can you get Takis out? More Takis. Probably going to eat some more of those before this episode's over.
How is that blending with your orange cream ale?
you know what we did is we opened the second beer before we did a song.
Who's the guy in the wheelchair that's really smart?
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
Creamsicle ale.
That's awful. You are awful.
Let's go to a song.
This podcast. This is the last episode.
There's a whole
of
bunch of
podcast.
Guys from 680 The Fan that are from 790 The Zone that are now on 680 The Fan, specifically because of good jokes like that. Thank you.
All right. So the song, you know what? F the song. We're going to do a really good song.
So don't F the song. Let's
right.
pick a
so
good song.
So this came from, as Russ would say, friend of the show. I guess that's a thing.
Friend
I don't know.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. On Twitter, Georgia on tap. At Georgia on tap. I have met at Georgia on tap, and I forget his first name. Paul, Steve,
him.
Dave, Dan, Mike, Mitch.
Didn't he pull up his shirt, and he had Georgia on tap shirt underneath his shirt?
Yeah, we met him at Burnt Hickory like 2 years ago.
I was really hungover, and you showed up at my house, and you drugged me
to
that
bourbon
barrel.
To call me, like I was on my way to your house, and you were like,
can't do it.
I was like, the fuck? Yeah.
And so I'm thrown into this thing. I'm barely holding it together, and he's like, do you know what you need? You need some 14% stout, drink this.
Yeah.
And
I'm like here,
a glass later, I was
put
like,
it in your body.
It's I'm just, human. I just was healed of everything.
Here's some formaldehyde. Just mummify yourself, and you'll be good.
But I was wrecked that morning.
But that's where we met Georgia on tap. So I put out a call on Twitter that was like, hey, we're going to talk about college football. Give us your hot takes. And he sent us a song from the Atlanta-produced cartoon Squidbillies on Cartoon
Adult
Network.
Swim.
Yeah. So here is a 40-second song featuring Squid. What is the main Squidbillies name? Earl? Dave?
Early Kyler.
Early Kyler?
Seriously?
Early. Yeah, Early. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So Early and T-Pain singing about a team from the SEC West.
Yeah. Pizzle. Let's go, Early. What we do? I like driving in my truck.
He likes to drive in his truck.
Auburn sucks.
Auburn sucks.
I like driving in my truck.
He likes to drive in his truck.
Auburn sucks.
Auburn sucks.
I like trucks.
He likes trucks.
I don't care for Auburn.
He doesn't care for Auburn.
Holes.
You know, that was a religious experience. It was 40 seconds of pure gold.
Yeah.
40 seconds of pleasure. Really breaking down.
More than that would have been too much?
Possibly.
It's like having the where you're eating Lucky Charms and you're like, man, I wish I could have Lucky Charms that was just all marshmallows, But then if you actually got that and it was all marshmallows, you're like, no, this is bad.
Like people start grinding it down and melting it and then injecting it. That's a different thing. I'm sorry. That's bath salts. I was thinking bath salts.
Sure. For Lucky Charms, bath salts. Fine.
It's the same thing.
Of course.
Of
course.
Bath salts for you. My bad. They're in the car.
There's now something worse than bath salts. And a guy did it this week.
And the guy that ate the other guy's face?
Right.
It's called Flocka?
Flocka. And it's spelled differently from Waka Flocka Flame because that's how I Googled it. And they're like, Waka Flocka Flame, Wikipedia entry. I'm like, no. I need to know about the drug Flocka. And it's supposedly cheap as hell to make.
You're like, no. I need to know how face is prepared.
I love beef cheek. How is human cheek different from beef cheek? Can I braise a human cheek? But this guy went to this people's houses and started hurting them. And when police got there, he's eating the face of the dude. He died.
Yes.
The victim died, and the attacker was in critical condition.
He's, like, still in a coma.
Yeah.
But if you're Waka Flocka Flame, can you imagine, like, how you feel like your rap name has just been hijacked? Because everybody now is going to be like, fuck is bad. And he's like, no, I'm really good, actually. Like, people like me.
Is he the guy that poured champagne
don't
on
do
his cell phone?
I don't know. No, that's Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne.
Different than Big Wayne.
Great
and
commercials,
way different
by the way.
Than Wayne.
Love Brady. Those commercials.
Where do you keep the high-end champagne? Because you pour champagne on the phone.
Oh, my God.
Great campaign. But, yeah, I feel bad for Waka Flocka Flame because is there a better phrase? I mean, you just say Waka Flocka Flame and you can't help but smile.
True. It's a good.
It just name. Makes me feel good.
It's a good name.
It's a good name. I'm not going to waste any more nouns on that sentence.
You just gave up on nouns.
Like, so speaking of college football teams who are bad, Alabama is bad.
Alabama's bad. University of Wyoming at Louisiana State, also bad.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's happening?
Satellite campuses never really pan out for football.
Phoenix University, not expected to even field a team this year.
Oh.
I got to tell you
cutbacks.
What. This LSU-Wisconsin game at Lambeau on week one. Like, come on. That is...
No.
How? Okay, hold on. How many? Well, we don't know how many people Lambeau seats. Let's check this out. I have a question.
I'm going to guess 82,000.
I'm just going to be very excited for the... How many times will they run the ball in this game? Because LSU, it really has Leonard Fournette, and that's kind of it.
Okay, so Lambeau Field seats 80,735 people.
I went over.
At this game, mm-hmm. LSU Wisconsin, how many
empty seats
cross team marriages and or pregnancies result?
Here's the thing.
A lot, right?
If LSU had their way, 100%, right? Because LSU, their goal is to infiltrate through breeding the entire country.
Infiltrate through breeding, the title of this episode.
They're like, here, watch me boil this sea creature. Bend over the car.
Y'all want some crawfish? Have sex with that woman.
So, like, a lot, though, right? Like, because
that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever said.
They're
going
to be so exotic to each other, right? Wisconsin, and Louisiana.
But they're both, like, really amped up fan bases. Yeah. Wisconsin, like, the whole fourth quarter jump around thing is insane.
Who outdrinks who here?
Oh, LSU. LSU, hands down.
I don't know, man.
I don't know,
Have
man.
You been to Wisconsin?
No. Yeah, yes. I don't remember.
It's real blurry.
Here's the difference. They're both going to drink volume the same. With LSU, it's going to be all liquor. With Wisconsin, it's going to be all beer.
I could see that. You know what I think is the big key here? Weather. It's early in the season, so LSU will last. If this were happening in December, no way LSU hangs. No way.
LSU fans would try to pull a Han Solo and cut a Wisconsin
fan
open to stay warm.
They would show up to tailgate as normal and then all die from exposure.
Yes.
Just be a bunch of frozen Bayou Cajun carcasses. And
oh, my God.
So how do we make this happen?
So back to, I think there's, it's going to be hard to track and it's going to be up to somebody like surfacing this years from now, but there will be
babies,
marriages, and people created from this football game.
Mm-hmm.
So
I can see that.
By comparison, like zero conceptions from crossbreeding happened at the Georgia Florida game, correct?
No, unfortunately, that's not correct. I'm sure there are.
Russ's heart is broken.
Bunch of red and blue idiot babies out there.
Yeah.
Red and blue, yeah.
But okay, think about how much Georgia Tech. You know what? So this is interesting. Thinking about LSU at Lambeau with Wisconsin just fills me with joy. Thinking about FSU and Ole Miss at Tampa Bay Stadium is just awful.
Oh my God, is that where that's at?
That's that the Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers Stadium. LSU, Ole Miss, or no, I'm sorry, FSU, Ole Miss.
That sounds like,
and you know what?
That makes me so sad.
You know what? You know
what? It's a bad blind
marriages
date.
And children, well, marriages as a result of the children are going to come out of that game as well. And that's just sad. But I think about like a bunch of wacky ass LSU fans in Green Bay, Wisconsin, starting families. And it's like, yes, this is how genetics should work.
I'm going to go plant my roots up there in the Green Bays, y'all. I mean, I'm telling you. That right there, that game, as far as the neutral site and the two teams, like that game sets up perfectly.
Let's not say it's a neutral site. That's not a neutral site. You can say technically it's a neutral
That's
site.
That's a Wisconsin That's home a game.
Wisconsin it's home a Wisconsin game. Home game, but you would, I'm telling you right now, you'll be shocked as to how many people will be in that stadium that will be purple and gold because.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because LSU travels very well.
They travel extremely well, and for this game, they'll travel very well, and Wisconsin fans will be like, you want to offer me how much for a ticket? Sure,
go.
Cajun.
I was just going to make a joke comparing LSU to like, yeah, Honey Badger don't give a shit. They'll travel to Wisconsin, and then I was like, oh, it's the Wisconsin Badgers, right?
Oh, right.
But yeah, LSU is going to show up big for that game.
Huge.
What culinary creation is invented in the parking lot of this game?
A corn dog covered with sauerkraut.
A crawfish cheese sandwich.
I think
like a grilled crawfish
covered in poutine.
Cheese curds with Old Bay on them.
You looked at me crazy when I said corn dog. You know that Baton Rouge smells like corn dogs, right?
It's been a hot minute since I've been to Baton Rouge.
It smells exactly like corn dogs. LSU in general, if you step off the bus, all you smell is corn dogs. And that's a true story. That's a scientific fact. Something to do with the air and the atmosphere there.
So how about a corn dog where they've incorporated cheese curds into the meal?
It's a corn dog in a hot dog bun with cheese curds on it and then on top of that, like melted cheese.
Wait. You lost me at corn dog in a hot dog bun.
Yeah, because you can't just put stuff on a corn dog. You gotta have something to hold the stuff. You get a hoagie bun. That's what you get, a hoagie bun. You put the corn dog in the hoagie bun. Then you can top it with cheese curds.
But
some,
I thought the corn
crawfish.
The corn coating served as the bun. That's the enclosure.
Yeah, but now we're topping the corn dog.
Well, mm-hmm. You are in Wisconsin, so you got to add bread.
Next,
and cheese.
Exactly. Next, we're going to deep fry this enchilada. We're going to put it in this paper sack, cover it in baby powder. We're going to cover that in salsa.
Salsa?
There's an SNL sketch about how wacky food has gotten, making fun of Taco Bell. Like, we took this taco, wrapped it in a gordita, and then we took it and deep fried it in pancake batter.
I feel like it's something if a QT kitchen were to have a illegitimate baby with Taco Bell, that's the kind of stuff that would come out of here.
I've
a pretzel dog covered with cheese curds.
I have upped my consumption of Taco Bell in recent months, and I have to tell you that the beef burrito supreme with no sour cream is a delight. And I'll tell you, the Mexican pizza there is phenomenal. It's fantastic.
You have got to stop smoking pot.
Yeah. Can I have your therapist's number? Because this is important stuff.
Wait, are you reporting me to my therapist or you want to start seeing her?
The first one.
I had a Mexican pizza last night and it brought me a lot of joy.
So
yeah, bath salts.
Bold predictions this year.
All right. So Georgia goes 9-4.
9-4.
Yep.
Including a bowl game loss?
Yep.
Which bowl game? And is it against Nebraska or Wisconsin?
Right. It's going to be one of
those.
Will
you actually pull up the Georgia schedule real quick?
I will click on the word Georgia and see what happens. We'll look at Alabama quarterback. Click on Georgia and you see a picture of the Alabama quarterback.
Because they're so bad at football. All right. So North Carolina. I'm still angry that we're playing the opening game at the Georgia Dome. We're taking business away from Athens,
yeah,
bars and
this
restaurants.
This is the thing with Russ. He's going to get fired up.
Oh, it pisses me off. It's like, oh, we just want the paycheck for the Athletic Association, but no one else gets paid. No one else can make money off them. Nope. So you downtown businesses, you guys are screwed.
So during the Georgia-North Carolina game, you should go to Athens then and empty your checking account all over Athens businesses. Just be like, I'm going to make it rain, yeah! And they're like, sir, this is the taco stand.
You just bought the business.
Yeah. I'm coming in here. I'm dropping $500. Okay.
Sir, business is yours.
51% owner.
I don't. And here's a hot take. Here's a non-popular opinion. I dislike taco stand.
Yeah, you're an idiot, but we know that.
No, I'm not an idiot. Those flour tortillas they have there are gross.
All right, we need to do an episode at taco stand.
Fine.
Mm. We can do that on the same weekend we're up there in the Creature Comforts brewing tank.
Fuck no. So,
need to
but
do
it has
one
been 20 years.
That's my place.
It's been 20 years since I've eaten a taco stand because my first experience was so gross. I'm like, never again. And I've held strong.
Wait. You've been there once?
Once.
As a student?
Yes.
And then just like drew a line through it? Like,
yes.
You're off the list.
I don't look at the building when I pass it.
So which taco stand location was it?
Downtown.
Okay.
I've been to the both taco stand and then the one next to the Dunkin' Donuts off Prince.
Yep.
I've been to both.
Yep.
One time each.
Both are delicious.
Both were immediately crossed off the list and I don't even look at them anymore.
So you've been to taco stand.
Elephants are in your house.
He's six. It's fine. But he weighs like 65 pounds now. So
he's dense.
He's made of lead.
So yeah, we could do an episode at taco stand and I'll show you how disgusting those flour tortillas are.
Oh, we could drink like Modelo with lime.
PBR.
What do you get that thing where you dump the bottle upside down into a margarita? Clamato?
I think you have to be on Jersey Shore to do that.
Oh, Jim Tan Laundry? Okay, so back to the schedule. North Carolina.
We're looking at Georgia's schedule right now.
It's at the Dome. Nickel State.
What is Nickel State?
It's where Todd Nichols founded a Christian college. Too many of you will get that joke that are listening to this, and that's unfortunate.
So the home games this year are Nickel State. Well, you got Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Auburn, Louisiana Lafayette, and Georgia Tech. So, I mean, if you're a season ticket holder, you got Tennessee and Auburn, Georgia Tech at home.
As a season ticket holder, I'll tell you that no season is good.
I don't disagree. Since I graduated in 1999, I've been to two football games at Sanford. One was, we just went up. It was a Kentucky game, like 2007. We're like, let's go up, get tickets. And went in, and it was awful. And
what was awful about it?
That we were upper deck corner.
You didn't spend enough
on an aluminum bench, and
that's
just
bad.
Like there's no replay, and just like the experience because of what you've come to expect from a flat screen TV,
and your cold beer that's 20 feet away, and your
right.
comfortable couch,
yeah,
and air conditioning,
and being able to watch other games. That's what's made it worse for me because I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I just don't go to that many games nowadays because the amount of money that I spend, because I'm not a season ticket holder, so.
Kit just looked at me because I am a season ticket holder.
Well, I mean, but, you know, so if I'm going to spend the money to go, I want to buy lower level tickets. I want it to be close to the action. I want to make an experience out of it. And then when I look at, you know, what it would take to go to Athens on a Saturday, plus my wife is an Alabama fan. She
who
thinks
is not good at football.
She thinks they're terrible at football. All Alabama fans say they're awful at football. Little known secret. But
God, they are so screwed when Saban retires.
Oh. No, because they're going to hire old Dabo from Clemson.
No, they're going to hire Kirby. And Mark Richt is going to come back to Georgia.
Okay.
I'll take it. There's so many people just shut the radio off right then and there. They're like, all right, I'm done.
Their sarcasm's
gone. There goes Kit. Homering for Rick again.
Have clearly been drinking.
I'll tell you this. NFL ticket sales have been declining year over year for about 10, 12 years now. That's why I had to get rid of the blackout rule for television because they know they're competing against this. That's why the NFL 3 years ago was supposed to roll out every stadium Wi-Fi with their own apps, and they were supposed to encourage you to start bringing your iPads so you could watch other games, you could get real-time stats, choose your own replays, all that stuff. They never initiated the rest of the rollout. So they know ticket sales are declining, and it's going to hit college. It's already started in some of the lower tier college football stadiums, and it's why they're trying to do everything they can to improve reception, Wi-Fi connectivity, all that stuff in stadiums to make sure they can get you to the game.
But the reality is, for NFL, if zero people showed up to all of the stadiums, so if NFL had an entire week of 0% attendance, the NFL's fine. Like, they got all that TV money. Like, they don't need eyeballs at the stadium. They need eyeballs on the TV.
But think about, okay, so coming from my previous life background, think about one day when audiences aren't allowed to attend a sporting event for safety and security reasons.
They had that baseball game a couple years ago in Baltimore.
Yep.
Which was so fucked up because they were
so weird.
They played it in an empty stadium and there were fans lined up outside like, let us in. And it's like, why play the game? It's entertainment. Like, if you're not going to entertain anyone, like,
so,
what are you doing?
So think about this environment. Think about where you don't have a stadium for a game with seats. You just have a walled-off building, that players go in and the media goes in a football warehouse. A football warehouse. The players go in and play a game. It's televised and everything, and you have pumped in fan noise to make you think people are cheering across the land. But that's very much a possibility. Not saying it's going to happen.
And the field and the background are all green screened. So it's just like, yeah, insert your desktop image.
Or you buy a virtual ticket, which then you have a robotic camera at the seat you just bought, and you can look around, pan, zoom, or you can just say, hey, just follow the football, you know, whatever. That is not very much an unlikely thing to happen, depending on safety and security in the next 10, 15 years. Maybe we won't have places to go gather in large volumes.
True.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm very much looking forward to my robotic body when that happens, like Bruce Willis and that was it, Surrogates? Was that the name of that movie? Where everybody had like a robot skeleton, my robotic body with a six-pack of abs. That guy? That guy's going to be awesome. He's going to have phenomenal hair.
No one would... you just brought up hair.
Bro. I mean, I'm just saying.
No, see, then people won't appreciate your personality.
Okay.
So despite this masquerading as a college football preview, it's obviously a Georgia Homer episode.
Right.
How do things look at the end of the season?
Just fine. I mean, Georgia's got two games that they have to win in order for this season to be considered a success, and that's Tennessee and Florida.
Is that considered a success or considered not a failure?
Considered a success. I think, honestly, the Georgia fan base in and of itself, and I know I'm going to piss people off here, but they're so...
We have no listeners,
up.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, they're so geeked up about Kirby joining that if Kirby won seven games, it would be like, well, Rick was a terrible coach, and he left the cupboard bare, blah, 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 we don't have a quarter, you know, and they just scream and spew stuff, and, you know, we need an indoor practice facility and all this other crap that, you know, everybody's used to hang on Rick for so long. But truthfully, Kirby should, and I don't want to say has to, but he should win nine games. This schedule is super easy. I'm sorry. It's painfully easy.
There's no Bama, no Ole Miss.
At Ole Miss, week four.
Never mind.
So consider that a loss, okay? So you consider at Ole Miss a loss, and Tennessee could be an outside contending team for a playoff spot, according to pundits who are terribly wrong about
that. According to people from Knoxville.
Yeah, exactly. But other than that, Florida is incredibly beatable. Auburn is awful. Awful.
Georgia they still Tech, have that guy who dresses really nicely with the V-neck sweaters?
Gus?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh, see, that's the thing. I hate Auburn, but I like him.
I like Gus.
Because he seems to be a nice, you know, well-rounded gentleman.
I think he's a decent dude, which is why he's having trouble recruiting to Auburn.
But remember, he won a national championship.
No, Gene Chizik won a national championship.
Gene Chizik won a national championship. Gus just played for one.
Ooh.
And lost to Jameis.
My bad.
So in a battle of evils... Jameis won.
I think if it's anything less than a 10-win season, which is what we just fired our coach for, I think it's a failure of a season. I think he has to come in and win 10 games. I think if he loses to Tech, it's an awful season. I can't.
What are the losses that you see on here?
I think if we're not careful, Mizzou could be a loss.
No.
Yep.
I don't think so.
Awful.
I'll see you guys here in 4 weeks.
I say... maybe North Carolina. We shouldn't lose that one, but that could be. That's just
possibly
a weird unknown entity.
On the road.
Mentioning Gene Chizik, by the way, I think he's still the defensive coordinator at North Carolina, if I'm correct.
Ole Miss is that's
not worried about Kentucky.
Maybe Tennessee.
But you know, if we do play well, we might get cocky. I don't know. Auburn is typically been a tough game for the road team or for the home team.
Yep.
So I can't discount any SEC game. You never know what happens going to happen.
As an institution, we play awfully against Florida.
Yes.
Just like last year, we should have beat the snot out of them, and nope.
And if we did, Rick would still be here. Not that I'm.
No, that's a true story. You know what that bowls at? You know what ended up costing Coach Rick his job? Mike Bobo leaving.
And
not having a suitable replacement for that. I still hang everything, all the troubles that we had last year, hang all of that on Brian Schottenheimer. I'm just not a fan. But Georgia, to me, Georgia has must-win games at Tennessee at home, at Florida, or, you know, at Jacksonville. I think Ole Miss is probably a loss for no other reason than just early in the season, Georgia on the road at Ole Miss. But it's all going to boil down to how good our offensive line is and how healthy Sony Michel and Nick Chubb are. They're okay, we're okay.
And how quickly our quarterback can grow up.
Yep.
I mean, we were okay last year when Chubb was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. 8 yards, 8+ yards averaging per carry.
All I want is 3.4 per carry.
So I have pulled up the Miami Hurricanes schedule. Yeah. Go Canes. Because go Canes. I don't recognize half of these teams.
Welcome to the ACC.
Florida A&M, FAU, App State.
What's a Pitt?
What is a Pitt? They spell out the name of everybody else except FAU and Pitt.
That's weird that the Pitt logo is Pitt and then it's Pitt. It's not like Pittsburgh.
I don't know why they wouldn't say Pittsburgh.
Or Florida Atlantic University.
Georgia Tech.
Shit, Georgia Tech could have a great schedule. They could have a great season.
Georgia Tech?
Yeah.
Not a chance.
Shh.
They're terrible.
I hate Tech.
We're going there now.
Okay. One thing Greg McGarrity, above firing Mark Richt, on things that I hate Greg McGarrity for, I wrote him and said that we should stop playing Georgia Tech, and he told me it wasn't going to happen. And I made a great case for that, by the way.
Well, what's the case?
The case is that Georgia Tech doesn't deserve to have Georgia play them because we gain nothing from playing them. We're at the point.
They have everything to gain if they beat us.
We're at the point to where we don't gain anything. We've already won the state. We're always going to win the state as far as being the better team, being the larger team, larger fan base, more money, better recruiting.
It's in the contract. They have to win 1 out of 8 times.
That contract is stupid.
Do you think Greg McGarrity negotiated Paul Johnson's contract? Because Tech always, they're always about to fire Paul Johnson, but then they're like, we can't afford this.
Well, they can't because when they fired Paul Hewitt, Hewitt had an automatic renewal contract built into his clause. By the way, his agent is a Georgia fan.
Jimmy Sexton.
Yeah. So Paul Hewitt's contract automatically renewed for another 2 years at the end of every season. So for Tech to fire him and buy him out.
He put an auto-renew in an employment contract?
Yes. Dude, I think they just recently finished paying off Chan Gailey.
Oh, my God.
They are so in the red, it's not even funny.
They can't afford. I mean, they just fired their head coach and got the guy from Memphis. But it wasn't an upgrade for him. He was getting fired anyway, so he's like, lateral move. I'll just come over to Georgia Tech, and you won't pay me any more money.
Wait, coach? Basketball coach?
Yeah.
But they can't afford to fire Paul Johnson. If you're going to have someone in there that's like a crotchety old man, then fine.
Oh, granny.
All right.
He's a delight. All right, let's wrap up the beers here. Coffee Minotaur, Orpheus Brewing Sour Ale, Whiskey Barrels and Coffee. Thumbs up.
Yeah, that was just a weird, like I read the description on the label and I was like, this could be like interesting and potentially tasty or an unmitigated disaster. And it was, pleasantly it was the former.
I really like what Orpheus does. I was a big fan of that. Pre-tackies.
Then the orange sickle, the red hair cottontail orange. I got to tell you, when red hair came on, and we forgot to go down this rabbit hole, when red hair came online, it wasn't a smooth launch.
I mean, it's...
They had product that came to market.
They were brand new. The business forces and the brewing forces were... It was their first endeavor ever, and they came online with a big production facility, and so...
With a lager?
With something that you have to control at such a minute level, there's going to be issues. So, yeah, it took them a while to iron things out. I got to say, there's no way to make a beer where you're trying to make it taste like an orange creamsicle and for it not to be a little bit gimmicky. And this one has that where you're like, that's okay. I get it. But then it's drinkable.
Very drinkable. I got to think, honestly, it might be one of their best beers that I've had of theirs. And if it was a gimmick, you'd see other people doing it too. And I can't recall another orange creamsicle ale to market. I can't. So it's not like a gimmick that the people are just globbing onto like cloudy IPAs.
Right.
I rather enjoyed the beer. It wasn't overly sweet. It nailed the profile and the name of what it tried to be. Here's an orange creamsicle in a beer in a can. Drink it. Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And then the last thing we tried on this episode was Takis. A rolled up, very intense Dorito is going to be my official review. Where are they from? That's not a mouth noise. That's a rapper noise.
Manufactured and distributed by Barcel USA LLC from Coppell, Texas. Coppell, Texas. Made in the USA.
Hey!
A company of Grupo Bimbo.
Hey, I'm a big fan of... Oh my God. Tony just failed. Your microphone said I've had enough with you and your
tighten screw on that tacky stand there.
Tacky noises. Plus a Six Flag coupon. Holy shit, these things are bad for you.
Surprise.
13 pieces. Basically each piece has 10 calories.
Okay, great.
Contains
I'm on board.
Oh my God, it may contain milk, egg, and wheat.
And tree nuts and
processed lime. Oh, awesome. It has maltodextrin, onion power, hot chili pepper. They were good. I would not pair that with anything except straight tequila.
Which is fine. That sounds great, actually.
Yeah, but can you pair that with anything else? A really strong
whatever pellet. Else I'm drinking at the time.
I don't know. Let's like ask Taco Bell. Because there's only a matter of time before these guys show up.
Yeah. I'll.
Oh, man.
I'd have another reason to go to Taco Bell.
It's like you're looking for reasons, it sounds like.
Dude, their refried beans are great.
Kid, thank you very much for coming and imparting your knowledge and wisdom and insight.
It's always fun. Here's the thing. I can't remember the last time I was here. Was that last year or was it two years ago?
Yeah, we did one last year.
We did one last year, but I wasn't doing the podcast last year. So this is...
No, this last year you were doing like the final wrap-up lap.
No, I didn't even do a season last year at all.
I don't know.
I don't think
it was last time. It was a year ago, and you were wrapping up Dog Podcast, right? And
so this is fun. This is nice.
Yeah, we do it every year.
This is nice.
This is nice.
I'll flush this from my memory, and hopefully we'll be
no,
back in a year.
No, are you kidding me? I was looking forward to it.
Awesome. I'm glad you were able to come out. And like, I proposed this, I think, like 48 hours ago.
Yeah.
I was like, let's have Kit come over. And like, you made yourself available. So awesome.
Thank you so much.
I think y'all overestimate how busy I am on the weekends because I literally cleared everything out and was like, I'm just going to get fat. And
you've got that.
Just watch TV.
I don't have kids' schedule, which is, yeah.
And so Russ texted me. It was like, you want to come drink beer? And I'm like, also part of the plan of getting fat. So let's do that.
It's amazing. Awesome. Dana Carvey said, and I'm sorry, we're trying to wrap this up, but Dana Carvey once said, he was like, you know, you can it really sucks when you start to have kids and then your friends that don't have kids call you. They're like, oh, it's 11:30 and I just woke up on this Saturday. What are you guys doing? I'm going to go get a Frappuccino and oh my God. Meanwhile, everybody else in the world's like, the kids are up. Mm-hmm. It's fucking 6:45.
It's 7:30. I'm wearing my kid as a helmet.
Right.
But, yeah.
The second person you've worn as a helmet.
Who was the first person I've worn as a helmet?
We'll talk about that off the air.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Bye.
Bye.
God damn it.